Let's pray real quick. Jesus, we just thank you so much that you are the shield for us, that you are the lifter of our head, that we're here today to, in fact, worship you, give you praise because you are worthy. You alone are worthy. That's the sole reason we're here today, is to lift up your name. You're the star attraction. You're the focus of our worship. You're the focus of our attention. And so we're just thankful that we get to come in here and give you praise today. Give you praise for coming to earth and being that sacrifice for us, giving yourself for us, to being born into this earth as a man, even though you're God. And then going to the cross to die for us, that we might have eternal life. And we're so thankful. We're so thankful. So we celebrate Jesus this morning. We celebrate Jesus in this place. We celebrate Jesus in this place. And as we come to you now, we even in these moments pray for salvation in this place today. We pray for salvation for someone that walked in the room and does not know you, maybe doesn't know you, doesn't know about you, doesn't know about your power. And we also pray for your healing power in this room today. We're thankful for Gerald being here with us today. We celebrate Gerald. We celebrate Gerald. Celebrate Gerald. We celebrate Rusty back there. We're so thankful for Rusty. Your power to heal, your power to restore. And then we also recognize, Jesus, that you have an appointed time for us to go home. And so we pray for our sister Sherry, wherever she is in the room, for Sherry, for the loss of her mom, that you will comfort her, that you will minister to her, that you will show yourself strong. Because we know that even though you're our healing power, we also know that there's an appointed time for us to come home and be with you. And so we recognize that. We recognize your sovereignty and your goodness, but we recognize your healing power even in the earth today. So we're thankful that you are among us, that you're ministering among us. And we give you all praise, we give you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of this message is Peace on Earth with a question mark. Peace on Earth? And the way this came about, honestly, this was a rough week for peace on Earth. If you pay attention to the news, and I know a lot of you pay attention to news, you know, it's a lot of terrible things happen, you know. Massacre in Australia, violence on Brown University, two people killed, and then follow up with a professor shot in his home from another university. Turned out to be the same person who committed those two acts. You know, Middle East is always tense. Stuff going on in Venezuela. Attacks on Syria. Retaliation attacks from the U.S. on Syria. Lots of stuff going on, and at a time when people are saying peace on earth, peace on earth, peace on earth, and it can become confusing. Become confusing because we can buy into this thought, and I think even as a child growing up in church who didn't know Jesus, I remember the declaration from, and this is, we're just going to read this verse. I remember this, and we'll read it, and I'll talk about it. The announcement by the angels that Jesus had been born, and it says this in Luke 2, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward all men. And as a kid, I remember hearing this, and we see this around Christmas time, banners, declarations that say, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And as a kid, my thought was that the plan of Jesus was for there just to be this universal utopian peace on earth, and everyone was just going to get along, and it was just a kumbaya society, kumbaya life, and came to discover that that was not true. So the mystery is, what does that mean then? What does that mean that at the birth of Jesus, that he came and said, peace, goodwill to men, and we discover there's a lot of unrest. There's a lot of unrest. I remember as a kid singing a song in church that said, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Sounds really, really good. With every breath I take, from this moment, let this be my solemn vow to live each moment in peace eternally. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. And as a kid who grew up singing that song, but not knowing Jesus, again, my thought was, utopia. Everyone's just going to love one another and get along with one another. Then I came to know Jesus. And somewhere along my early studies, I came across this verse in Matthew 10:34. It says, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." And then you're going, well, what was that angel declaring? And then I'm reminded as I'm working on this, Pastor Shane's message a couple weeks ago, the gift of eternal life, and he says, we, and this was probably me as a kid, wanting a manageable God, And so it sounds really nice to say, oh, we have a God that wants to just bring this utopian peace. But Jesus says, no, I bring a hard message. And if you want to be my follower, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, it's a difficult message at times. And I also remember a message that Pastor Shane brought last year, the sword that separates. And that's what Jesus is talking about. No, I come because I want you to follow me. I want you to listen to my instruction to follow me and know me. And then if you read this verse in context, here's what it says. Here's the instructions that Jesus gives to his disciples as he's sending them out. He said, "I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves." That doesn't sound like peace on earth. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes, innocent as doves. You'll be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven, but whoever disowns me before others, I will disown my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I've come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life will find it for my sake. And this is a hard message. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, this is a Christmas message. This should be something nice and easy. Peace, love, and joy, and okay, let's go home. And I struggled with the idea that this is Christmas. The kids are going to be in here. Children are going to be in the room, you know? But the reality as we come to know Jesus, that he does, in fact, want to bring peace to you and to you and to you. And I could go around this room and point my finger in everyone's face. He wants to bring peace to you, me, you. And the reality then is as we live out the peace that he personally brings to us, and we're going to look at the scriptures to talk about this, and we live life in that peace, and don't get caught up in all the chaos that's all around us, because it's there. You don't have to go far. It's in your workplace. It's in your neighborhood. It's in your families. Can't escape it. But we live with the peace he talks about, which we'll get to. Then we, in fact, are bringing peace to earth. He did it. But we live in it. He did it. We live in it. How do you go through a crisis? How have Gerald and Julie gone through this? Because they know Jesus. In the middle of their storm, there's peace. How have Rusty and Amy gone through this? In the middle of their storm, there's peace because of Jesus. How is Sherry going through the loss of her mom? Because the peace of Jesus is real. Here's what the gospel says. Here's what Jesus says right before he's leaving the earth in John 14. He says, "The advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So Jesus is saying, I'm giving you peace. But it's not just this kind of universal, I'm just dumping a bunch of peace over everything and everybody, and then that's how we live. No, we say yes to Jesus. We say yes to Jesus. And then because of that, we listen to his instructions, which is the scriptures obviously are full of. In Matthew, Jesus' invitation, and this is an invitation to any one of us at any given time, to everybody in the world, where he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. Anybody in this room ever been weary or burdened? Anybody weary and burdened today? He has this open invitation that says, come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me. And I'll give you what? Rest. Peace. I'll give you rest. And then he says this, take my yoke upon you. What's a yoke? It's a piece of equipment that's put on an ox to give balance to the work, to balance things out, to carry the weight. He said, take that. I'm going to balance. Take my upon you. Take me upon you. Take me upon you. I'll carry the weight. I'll balance it out. And then he says this, learn from me. So there's action steps here. There's action steps here. It's not just, I'm going to give you peace. No, learn from me. Let me carry your load, but you got to trust me. You got to talk to me. You got to follow my instructions. For I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. This is not a heavy load I'm putting on you. And I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. And then in Ephesians, Paul talks about this where he says, now in Christ Jesus, you were once far away and have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Anybody in this room, were you far away from Jesus at one point? I know I was. I was churched, but I was far away from Jesus. So Paul's saying, you were once far away, but my blood, my shed blood, brought you near, gave you the opportunity to be brought near to me. It's not just some thing that happens where everybody is just suddenly brought near to Jesus. No, there's a response. Has to be a response from us. We have to respond to the work that he has accomplished. And then he says, for he himself is our peace, who made the two groups one. He's talking about the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. They were separate. He said the life and death of Jesus brought them together, where there's no division any longer. And he's destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. He came to preach peace to you. What do we do with it? What do we do with it? We have to follow him. We have to follow him. Romans 5:1, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Are you standing in his grace today? Are you standing in his grace? Receiving his forgiveness, the free gift of forgiveness, wasn't free, it cost him everything. And as all we do is say yes and then become his follower. And as we become his follower, then we learn to live in that peace that he promises to us. Apart from that, there's chaos. Most of us have experienced some level of the chaos. If we said yes to Jesus, most of us then have experienced some level of the peace. Why would we ever want to trade that for the chaos? We wouldn't. But we do. We do. We fall short. Which is, again, why we need his grace to be new every morning, which the scripture says it is. But that doesn't become an excuse. Doesn't become an excuse. Because I am convinced that Jesus wants there to be peace on earth through his people in such a way that the world can't deny that there's something about God's people. There's something about followers of Jesus that are different than anybody else. And I don't say that in any sort of arrogant way. I don't say that in any sort of presumptuous way. It's just the reality of what life in Jesus is like and what life outside of Jesus is like. And the contrast is stark. I can see all this violence going on. I can see all these things happening. And actually, the more you read the scriptures, the more you know these things are actually part of some sort of conclusion to life as we know it. Beginning of birth pains. This isn't an end times message. So then here's where it gets really personal. Here's how it gets really personal and where there's an assignment in this for God's people who have received Jesus. Here's what we read in Romans. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Boy, these passages right there, there's just like a year's worth of lessons. A year's worth of lessons, and just take each verse and say, I'm going to commit that my life to that for a week. And then we come to this. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Man, what if every believer of Jesus just did that every single day? Every single day. Live at peace with everyone. You're on assignment. We're on assignment. And it's not passive assignment. It doesn't mean we don't speak difficult things. It doesn't mean we do anything and say anything just to keep the peace. A lot of people live like that. A lot of Christians sometimes live like that. I think I heard. Connie was with me. I don't remember what we heard, but it said, what can ruin your holiday dinner faster than anything else? And I don't know what their answer was, but mine was, talk about Jesus or talk about politics. But if we're a follower of Jesus, we're called to speak about Jesus. Our word 2 years ago was go and tell. We're called to go and tell, and that's going to ruffle some feathers. That's the sword that separates. That's the challenge. That's the challenge of living with peace on earth, because speaking about Jesus is controversial sometimes. Not so much in the era we're living right now. The Charlie Kirk effect has given people a lot of open doors. The death of that man, the assassination of that man, has opened a lot of doors for people to speak about Jesus and not hold back, not shrink back. So we're on assignment to live in the peace of Jesus, but yet speak about him. That may ruffle some feathers. In James we read, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Are you a peacemaker? Are you someone who's willing to throw yourself into a contentious situation to try to bring peace? I often say, sometimes in counseling situations, I'm just going to lock you in the room, and then I'm going to leave, and don't come out till you figured it out. Matthew 5, Jesus taught in what's commonly known as the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So part of this whole idea of peace on earth is through God's people. Through God's people. To be a peacemaker. To infiltrate situations where it's chaos and you go and speak life. You go and speak Jesus. Jesus, I speak Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness, Jesus over every enemy. Living on assignment, and you're doing so peacefully because Jesus is your peace. You're not anxious about it. We're not fretting. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. And I share this because one of the things I've observed, and I've observed this for a long, long time. So when Rob Reiner and his wife were killed this past week, slashed to death by their son, and I saw, as you always see when somebody of celebrity has died, R.I.P., R.I.P., rest in peace. And every part of me wants to believe that that's in fact true. I don't know what Rob Reiner's wife's relationship with Jesus is like, but the reality is they were murdered, but if they were murdered without knowing Jesus and having a relationship with Jesus, the reality is there's no rest in peace. And that's a hard message, because we want a God, we want a manageable God that says, well, everybody gets eternal life. And we know from the scriptures that that's just not true. And that's hard. That's challenging. So when I see these rests in peace, it sometimes just grieves me. Because the only way that's happening, the only way any one of us when we die is going to rest, that we're going to rest in peace, is if we know Jesus. The only way you're going to rest in Jesus is if you know Jesus. I was thinking about this. So at Halloween time, there's lots of like decorations that are kind of ghoulish and dark. And there's an area kind of in our neighborhood where, I mean, it used to be just this one house. Now it's kind of the whole street where it's just graveyards and ghosts and witches and just all very dark, dark stuff. And this occurred to me as I was thinking about this message, that a lot of these types of setups have these gravestones, tombstones on them that say R.I.P. And I got to think about that it's almost like a mocking, because it's all representing darkness, and we know when there's darkness, there's no peace. There's no peace. But there's a whole culture that has this thought that Jesus is just this, he is a good father. Good father, we know this. But we have this idea that when it comes to the end, that no matter what you did, no matter how you lived, no matter, come on in. And I will tell you today, if you're living in sin, he's saying, come on in, come on in, come on in. We will welcome anyone in any form of sin, in any form of darkness, in any form of disobedience to Jesus, say, come on in, we want to show you Jesus. We want to show you a better way. We completely believe the passage that says God wants no one to perish, but for all to have eternal life. But we fully recognize that's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. We see this account in Luke 16. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores. This is not the Lazarus that Jesus raised from the dead, for anybody who's thinking that. Covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. So we have two guys both dying. In Hades, where he was in torment, this is the rich man, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side, and he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received a lot of bad things, but now he's comforted here and you're in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, I beg you, Father, then send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. So lest anybody think, before we move on, lest anybody think that hell is some sort of a figment of someone's imagination or isn't real, we have an example that Jesus himself is giving here about these two scenarios, this place of torment. I don't like that, but it was my destination. It was your destination apart from Jesus. And Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. And he said, no, Father Abraham. He said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. And he's speaking even of himself. He's speaking of himself. We have to respond to the one who rose from the dead if we want there to be peace on earth, at least in my life, and then I get to pass it along. Now, I'm not going to be a sacrifice for anybody. Jesus did that. The price has been paid. The price has been paid. So when we see these rest in peace I mean, part of me wants to knock on the doors. Say, do you know how to receive this peace? Because it's real. The peace we receive from Jesus is real. It's a really, really good message. But saying Jesus may cost you, saying yes to Jesus may cost you something. It may cost you something. It may cost you relationships. It may cost you friendships. It may cost you family members. But the peace that Jesus brings to us and to you will sustain you through that rejection. Let's go back to where we started. The announcement in Luke. And what I discovered as I was studying this, and I kind of already knew it was there, but I looked into it a little more closely. So some of the more modern, updated versions of these texts put a context to this announcement from the angel. And here's what the NIV says. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Then the New American Standard says, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Not everybody. Which then, as I concluded, this "let there be peace on earth" sign, "let it begin with me," actually is valid. If his favor is on my life, and again, I don't mean that in any sort of arrogant way, like I walk around like I'm all that because of Jesus. No, I'm bowed down to Jesus. I'm in submission to Jesus. But his favor's on me, and he's pleased, not because I do everything perfectly, but because I follow him, and I belong to him. And because I belong to him, I want to please him. So the question is, is his favor on you because you're following him? Because if his favor is on you because you're following him, that peace on earth is yours. That peace on earth is yours to live out every single day. As you share Jesus in sometimes difficult contexts, as you love people that are difficult to love sometimes, do you know Jesus that intimately? And I know many of you in the room do, because I know many of you. You follow him. His favor's on you. He's pleased with you. And his peace is in you because of it. But it's not an assumption. It's not a given that that's the true statement for every person. It may not be a true statement for every person in this room. But you know what my heart's desire is? That it would be. There's not one person in this room that wouldn't know the peace of Jesus that sustains them as they follow him. It's not just, "Here's my peace, Glenn. Now go do whatever you want." I was telling somebody this week, I said, "I think I'm giving a little bit of a hard Christmas message on..." It's real and it's true. It is real and it's true. And I know us well enough to know that we don't necessarily look for everything to be nice and tidy and some sort of a cleaned up message, but the reality is there's still a lot of church people that do. There's a lot of places that would never invite me back after this message. But they wouldn't invite Jesus either. They wouldn't invite Jesus either. I said last week in my message, fueled and ready, that I believe, and the Holy Spirit's always way ahead of us, but I believe as we're crossing into our new year, he's calling his people, and he's calling us to represent the voice of truth, our word this year, in ways that will be received in some circles, will be rejected in others. But we will not be deterred. We will not be deterred. We're living life on assignment. We know that. And so while we are purveyors of his message of peace that he first starts in us, it will not always be received in peace. And there will be battles. And we need to decide, whose am I? Whose am I? Do I belong to this Jesus that was born as a baby and was in a manger? Is that the Jesus I belong to? Or do I belong to some Jesus who I can somehow manage? That I can somehow dictate what the parameters of this relationship are like. No, he set them. They're established. They're not changing. But he's full of mercy because we're still flawed people. We recognize that. We fall short. I'm not talking about that. This is not our word for next year, but I'm going to say this. No excuses. No excuses. The more we hang out with him, the more we know too much. And walking away isn't an option. Where are you going to walk? What's the better option? What's the better choice? There's no better choice. Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. If you're in this room today, that invitation that Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. That message is for you. Let me tell you this, though. It's not to get you out of your troubles. Jesus came to deal with the problem of sin, is what he came for. And it's the chaos of sin. The chaos of sin that creates all this distress and disorder and confusion. And when we receive forgiveness of sin, then peace starts to get established in our hearts, in our minds, and that translates then in our lives. It's not some just supernatural thing that happens, but then there's no effect on it. There's an effect on it. Jesus, the transformation of Jesus has an effect on how we live. So let peace begin with you as you go out of here today. Only the peace of Jesus. Only the peace of Jesus. Let's stand. If you need prayer today, if you're in this room today and you're just like, I have no peace. I have no peace. I can't even consider what the concept of living in rest looks like. We want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. Because the Jesus that was born in that manger, that was announced by those angels, came to bring that to you. And again, not to fix all of your troubles in one full swoop, but to change the course of your life. To change the course of your life. Whether you're a young person or an older person, the invitation is for every one of us. Let's pray. Thank you for every person in this room that you are drawing to yourself. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to carry the weights of our sin, of our failures, of our mistakes, of our wrong choices. Because you paid the price. You came to the earth to pay the price that we can live a different way. And I'm praying today on this gathering where this is our Christmas message, our Christmas service, that there'll be someone or multiple someones who maybe for the first time say yes to you. Or maybe they said yes to you a long time ago, but haven't followed through with their yes. That today, they'll say, yes, Lord, I acknowledge my need for you. And then, Father, I also pray for this body that as you send us out into the culture, out into the highways and byways of life, the workplaces, that you will send us fully equipped with the peace of Jesus, but also the authority of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the wisdom of Jesus, the love of Jesus. That speaks light into darkness. That speaks truth to lies. That speaks unequivocal devotion to your will and to your way. For a people that will say, yes, I am a follower of Jesus. Not with the intention of turning anybody away, but just speaking the truth in love. Holy Spirit, you do the work. You do the work in your people today. But use us to be vessels. Use us to be vessels as we go out of here.